Proverbs chapter 24, reading from verse 27 through verse 34, finish the chapter up this evening. Beginning verse 27, we're just going to title this from the first words of this verse, Prepare Thy Work Without. He said, beginning in verse 27, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Verse 29, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall whereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity and privilege you've given us to assemble together. And we pray, Lord, thy will to be done tonight, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. If anyone needs air conditioning tonight, you can point at my wife and she'll turn it on for you. No, everybody's good? Okay, I didn't even think to set anything, turn anything on. All right, notice as we come here, and again, there's mainly, not every verse, but mainly we see the importance of work here in our passage. Last week, we're in verse 23 through 26, looking at the subject of respect of persons. Well, as we come here, verse 27, and again, we're just going to make some comments on each of these and keep moving to the end of the chapter. We'll begin a new chapter next Wednesday night. Coming back to verse 27, he said, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards, build thine house. Basically, what this verse is saying to us, it speaks of planning and preparation of someone before starting a task. In other words, like in this case, building a house. You could bring the analogy into it of many tasks, and even the analogy of preparing for a family, for marriage, and things of that nature. But here in particular, he's showing the planning and the preparation before starting, again here, building a house. In other words, preparing the land for that. In other words, there's preparation and planning that is to take place. And again, this could pertain to not only just building a house, but also getting married, raising children, preparing for those things. In other words, don't jump into anything without being prepared. Make plans and preparation before that we do it. And I have, I think it'd be a wonderful thing. People might say it couldn't be done today, but I know somebody right now doing this, a young man, actually building a home before that they get married, and having a home built and paid for. And I think that's really a wonderful way to start out. Like I say, people say, well, the way things are now and the prices, it could not be done. But I've known some do that over the years. And again, I know one young man that's doing that now. Now, when we come to this passage here, he said, prepare thy work without. In other words, I guess the taking care of the land and so forth, and make it fit for thyself in the field. And then he says, and afterwards, build thine house. I'll give you a couple of other verses. Back up with me to chapter 8, and we'll read here. A few other passages, I think, that will at least go along with this. And one of those is one about 4 weeks ago that we read in another sermon. And you can just write these down. But in Luke chapter 14, dealing with the subject of discipleship, we have in verse 28 through 30, he said, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? In other words, counting the cost of what we're doing. And he says, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. And that's the ideal that we find in our proverb. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, again, we're not going to turn to any of these, says that, that let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. The apostle is talking about the foundation, which is Christ. He's talking about rewards and things of that nature, our works that will stand before the Lord one day. And so he says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. In other words, think about it and prepare for it and plan it out. One other passage would be in 1 Chronicles. Let me back up. 1 Chronicles 22. And the entire chapter, from verse 1 to the end of the chapter, we find that the work was prepared and planned for the temple before the building ever started. As a matter of fact, Solomon and the children of Israel built the temple, that great temple that we just call Solomon's temple. It's God's temple, really. But in 1 Chronicles, you can read the details. And there's other passages beside that in Kings also. But you find that David wanted to build the temple, and the Lord wouldn't let him do it. He said, because of all the wars you fought and have fought and all the blood that was shed, he said, your son will build the temple. Now, God wasn't angry at David, but in other words, God just wanted Solomon to build the temple. But David gathered the materials. He spent a lot of time. He gathered iron for the nails and other things. He gathered stones. He gathered wood, cedar wood especially. He gathered brass, gold, and silver. He gathered a lot of stuff. A lot of money went into that. Gathered all these things. And then he sat down with his son and gave him the details of the temple and what God wanted. But anyway, all of this was gathered before they ever started building, which is always a wise thing to do, whether it be a physical building, a house, or whether we're thinking about getting married or whatever, especially us as men, we need to think those things through and make plans and preparation. I'm not saying I did that, but I know now that that's a very biblical and a very good thing. Well, notice in Proverbs chapter 8, and I just want to point out a verse here dealing with creation. And this chapter is dealing with wisdom. It begins in verse 1 with the subject of wisdom, and it speaks that wisdom was there. This when God laid the foundations and whatever, but there was a lot went into the creation of the universe and this earth and all of that. It wasn't just thrown together. And so as we read from Proverbs 8, verse 27 through 30, he says, and when he prepared the heavens, I was there. Now this is wisdom speaking. I was there when he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So this is wisdom speaking, but it's speaking of the creation of everything, and how if you read the whole chapter and read other passages in Genesis, you'll find how everything was planned out and prepared, and how that God created it. Nothing was just thrown together. And so coming back to our text, coming back to chapter 24 and in verse 27, we find here again, chapter 24 and verse 27, that he says this. He said, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. And I've seen many over the years use this, especially for their sons to memorize or to make note of what's here, and as they are growing into adulthood, to make their plans and preparation again for marriage and for children and those kind of things. Now notice in verse 28, He said, "Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips." This is another subject, as we're going to see in the last few verses of this chapter. This is another subject that we keep seeing in the book of Proverbs. Not to witness against our neighbor. Never bear testimony against anyone in judgment or private conversation without a really, really good cause. And then even be careful, even if we have to speak in that reference. So he says, "Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips." And there's a multitude of scripture in the Bible from the beginning to end on this subject. Now notice in verse 29. He said here in verse 29, he says, "Say not, I will do so to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work." This has to do with revenge. And notice in chapter 20, and by the way, the three verses that I'll give you on verse 28, Ephesians 4:25, about, again, our speaking, our lying, our deception. Under the Ten Commandments, one of those commandments in Exodus 20 and verse 16, again, not to bear false witness against our neighbor, and then again in Exodus 23 and verse 1. Those are just three really clear verses on verse 28 about deception and so forth. Notice now in chapter 20 and in verse 22. Chapter 20, verse 22, it says here, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." In other words, we are not to pay back. We're not to render evil for evil. Notice in chapter 25, and weeks to come, we'll get to this passage and spend some time on it. Notice chapter 25. I'm going to read verse 21 and 22. Here's some other verses that you can write down. Matthew 5, verse 39 through 48. We read that just a few weeks ago in another sermon. Also in Matthew 12 and in verse 17, Paul quotes from the book of Proverbs here in chapter 25. Matthew 7:12, the golden rule as we call it, says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even to them, for this is the law and the prophets." There's never an opportunity that we can have in God's eyes to render evil for evil, to get even with someone. There's never a place that gives us that liberty. Civil government has that privilege to punish and those kind of things. We as individuals never have that privilege to do so. Only God can take revenge. And if we ever, ever try to take it, I'll guarantee you, I know that within my own self, I'll guarantee you that we will fail in it every time. It'll never be done right. And that gives me the privilege, as I do at least 10 times a year, to read James chapter 1. Listen to this passage, James 1, verse 19 and 20. I just read this weeks ago. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Now, in other words, slow to anger. Then he said this, verse 20, "For the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God." Our anger, our revenge, our wrath, I promise you, it will never, ever bring forth the righteousness of God. Only God can bring about righteous indignation. We cannot do it and it be proper. Well, notice here in chapter 25, just a couple other verses besides this. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, "Render not evil for evil." Don't recompense, don't pay back at what someone's done. Romans 14:17, "The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And one other passage, Matthew 11:28 and 29, just reading part of those verses, Jesus himself said, And this is an invitation he's given to his disciples and others. He says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Now, Jesus was a real man. And so we can learn how to be real men from the Lord Jesus. We don't learn it from Hollywood and sports and war and things like that. We learn how to be real biblical men from the Lord Jesus Christ and his words to the apostles. Amen. Well, notice here now, and again, we'll get to this in the weeks to come, wonderful passage, Proverbs 25, verse 21 and 22. Verse 21 and 22. My wife and I were talking about this, not these verses, but this subject Monday. We were sitting talking about these things, and I was talking to her about some folks that I know that are preparing for civil war and things like that, you know, in our country, thinking they're going to have to fight the government or fight others or whatever. And I said, the tendency with all of us can lean in that direction. But I said, one thing that has kept me from never doing it is the scripture, is what God has said to us in his word, what the Lord Jesus taught to his disciples that they wrote down and given to us in the New Testament. We all could lean toward those kind of things, revenge, recompense, retaliation, and things like that. But it's the one thing that has kept me from doing those things, and thank God for it. It's his Spirit and his Word. I talked to two people this week on the phone from another state about this particular subject. One was this morning, and one was yesterday, as a matter of fact. Well, notice here, very clear passage that's quoted in the New Testament. He said in verse 21 and 22 of chapter 25, he said, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." When we get to that, we'll camp out there and spend one sermon on these two verses. And just remind ourselves again, which we do every year in this church, we'll go and look at the New Testament parallel passages with that. But this is something to really meditate upon and think upon. I'd rather see somebody sit down with these two verses and really spend time with them instead of seeing them reading 10 chapters and getting nothing out of it. Because these are wonderful verses. So verse 29 again of chapter 24. And then we're going to take verse 30 through 34 and just read those together and make a few comments and close. But notice he said in verse 29 again, "Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work." Dealing with revenge. All right, now let's take verse 30 through 34 together. Now here's a subject that we've seen over and over again in Proverbs. And when we get into chapter 26, we'll see it again. And there's just, again, there's a multitude of verses, not only throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, but right here in Proverbs. We got one whole sermon, I think it's titled The Sloth or Slothful, which we're going to see here in this passage. Verse 30 through 34. And by the way, verse 33 and verse 34, I think, is almost quoted verbatim. I believe it's chapter 6. But verse 30 through 34, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." He's talking about here laziness now. And that's quoted in chapter 6 and verse 10, and I believe verse 34 is quoted in chapter 6 and in verse 11. He said in verse 34, "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. What we have here is a picture of desolation. And we have a picture here of the sin of idleness, which is a theme throughout the book of Proverbs. And the sloth here, the sluggard, the lazy man, becomes his own enemy and destroys himself. And I know you. There's nobody in this church really needs this. Everybody's diligent in the things that God's, you know, called us to do. But it's still yet, it's a good reminder. And we see here the sloth, the slothful. They take no care to plant and to dress the field or the garden that it might bring forth fruit. And so the field or garden is just simply a disaster. And that's what we see here in the passage. Now, here's some of the verses. Let's go to chapter 26. We'll read just a few of these. There's so many. But notice in chapter 26, beginning in verse 13. Chapter 26 and verse 13. And when I read stuff like this, there's more that I think about than just physical labor, which that's what it's talking about. I think about spiritual things, and I think about cultivating righteousness in the garden of our heart and soul. And spiritually, our hearts should be attended to in receiving the word and then bearing fruit from that. If the soul is neglected, or the heart is neglected, it'll be ruined, just like somebody that lets briars and everything grows up, you know, on their property. And so, and if you want some verses on that, Matthew 13, verses 8 and verse 23. And it's the parable of the sower. And you got four types of soul, which represents four different types of hearts in the individual of men and women. And three of those do not bear any fruit. One of them, he's got thorns and so forth that, you know, they're there. But there's one that's good ground. It's been plowed, cultivated. It's been prepared, as we're talking about here, as we would prepare our property and whatever, you know, physically speaking, take care of it. Well, the heart is prepared. It's called the good ground. And then when the seed is planted, then that seed can grow and produce fruit. So when I read these things, I also think of the spiritual aspect of it as well. Amen. Well, notice in chapter 26, and I want to read from verse 13. Now, I'm going to quote something I've had for years. I think this is right. A sloth is a mammal measuring 2 to 3 feet in length, which lives in the canopy of trees in the tropical rainforests of Central and South America. The European explorers gave it the name sloth, which means to be idle. And that's what the word sloth, when we have the word sloth, the sluggard, and so forth. Now, the New Testament deals with this a lot. Paul dealt with it in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. But the sloth spends a lifetime in a single tree, and it is the slowest of all mammals. And not only that, it sleeps 15 or more hours a day. Its hair becomes full of moths and algae. Its primary occupation is eating. It will die of starvation if food is not always within its grasp. It hangs upside down most of the time, about 90% of the time, so everything is seen upside down. That's its worldview. And it just hangs out. And you hear people talking about hanging out. Well, the sloth just hangs out. So be careful with the sloth button on your clock. Isn't it called the snooze button? We could call it the sloth button if we're not careful. It's easy to just keep hitting that thing, you know, and I've done it years ago. You know, it's easy to keep doing that. So that's the reason the Lord uses this, the slothful man, called the sluggard as well. Notice in chapter 26, we'll just read here and close, but if you're taking notes, I'll just say these slowly, 21, 25, I'm not going to go through all of them, but chapter 18 and verse 9, chapter 19, verse 15 and 24, chapter 6 is probably the first time, chapter 6, verses 6 to 11, chapter 20 and verse 4, there's others, Ecclesiastes 10, 18. Notice now as we close here with this, I'm in chapter 26, verse 13. He said, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As a door turneth upon its hinges, so doeth the slothful upon his bed." You know, like, back and forth. "The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard," now here's that word, "the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." So again, this is covered many times in Proverbs and also throughout other passages in the Bible. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege again to assemble together. We ask your blessings now upon the prayer requests, the singing, and our prayers this evening. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.